Welcome to That's Not How a Baby Sleeps, the podcast where parenting meets hilarity. I'm your host, Alicia Daishon, and I've got the fantastic Eleni Katsinis as my co-conspirator in all things baby and toddler sleep. We're not your average sleep consultants, no cry it out nonsense or sleep training at all for that matter.
We thought we would do a little bit of an intro today. So I'm Alicia. I'm a mama to two beautiful little girls. They are 5 and 2 years old. I am a two-time certified infant and toddler sleep specialist. I take an attachment-based holistic approach to sleep, and I don't use any sleep training to support the families that I work with. When my oldest was born, she was never really much of a sleeper at all. She's still very low sleep needs. At 5 years old now, by about 6 months, I did feel a lot of pressure around me to sleep train her. Initially, we did little to no research on sleep at all. We really went with the flow. She honestly never really napped much. She napped like in arms, had like cat naps throughout the day. I wouldn't say that it worked for her nighttime sleep. She did wake up quite a bit, but I do think that was because we had no information on sleep. And she was overtired, which we know now. So she probably would have slept a lot better in those early days if we had actually been offering her adequate daytime sleep. But by about 6 months, I was still a little bit concerned around like what her nighttime sleep looked like. That is when I started researching infant sleep and really started to look at sleep training because I thought that was really my only option. At 6 months, we tried it. It worked, I'm using quotation marks, for a period of time. And this really kind of began my journey as a sleep consultant. I was really excited to learn how and why it had worked and how I had magically taught my baby to self-soothe. So as I went through my initial certification, I was really bothered that no one was really explaining why it had worked. We were just kind of told they were self-soothing. And then around 9 months, she began to wake more and was really struggling during that 9 month developmental progression, as we like to call it, or sleep regression, as everyone else likes to call it. So naturally, sleep really fell apart and she began to wake a lot more frequently. This is when I was halfway through my certification and I was told that I needed to retrain her. And that seemed really odd to me considering I had thought that I had taught her these amazing life skills of self-soothing. And I decided to not sleep train again. And I just resumed nursing her to sleep. And I really began to dive deeper into neuroscience in infants, emotional regulation, and quickly realized that self-soothing wasn't what was happening when we had used sleep training, which was really sad to kind of come to terms with. I really do believe that you do your best with the information that you had at that time. So I don't have a ton of mom guilt around this. I know a lot about attachment and how to repair those relationships. So I'm really not concerned about that now, but it is a little bit frustrating just knowing that, you know, I was a new mom, I was really vulnerable, and I had just kind of taken the information that I had found and actually was at this point in time learning and just kind of run with it without really diving a little bit deeper into like what was actually going on. So as I dove more into that information, I began to focus on supporting families without sleep training, really using connection and sleep science as opposed to separation and sleep training. So after working with families for about a year, I decided to get my second sleep certification that, of course, involved zero sleep training. It was very attachment focused, and I just began to expand my knowledge on attachment. I've now helped hundreds of families over the last 4.5 years really navigate their journeys without any sleep training and really focusing on the sleep science aspect of that and figuring out each child's unique sleep needs. I think a lot of the time we get really focused on these age-appropriate schedules that may or may not work for our child. And most of the time when they don't work, that's really what we're told that we should sleep train because they're obviously getting the perfect amount of daytime sleep for their age. Their wake windows are exactly where they should be and they should be sleeping through the night. So now I really do educate families on what normal infant sleep looks like, those attachment needs, as well as really that sleep science stuff and figuring out what works best for your child's unique sleep needs. And we did no sleep training with my second daughter. Prior to this, I did nothing child or baby related. I was working in restaurants for years and was not even really that sure if I wanted kids. I think I decided, I told my husband we could have one and then we had one And then I said I never, ever, ever wanted to have any more kids because I had a really traumatic birth with my first. And then I changed my mind and we had a second, and now I kind of want a third, but he's not really into that right now. So we'll see. I might be able to change his mind. But yeah. You can do your intro now,
Okay.
Eleni.
My name is Eleni. I have a highly sensitive 3-year-old daughter named Nora, and I came across the baby-led sleep approach on Instagram probably when I was nursing Nora in the middle of the night crying for like the millionth time because I felt like I had no other option but sleep training because of our pediatrician's lovely advice telling us we had to sleep train at 4 months old, or she was never going to fall asleep on her own. She was never going to sleep good in a toddlerhood and childhood. So she scared the crap out of us, essentially. So I went home that day and I tried to sleep train her for a nap. It lasted like 2 minutes and I picked her up and I nursed her to sleep. And ever since then, I nursed her to sleep until she was like 2.5 years old. And so, yeah, I wanted to become certified with the baby-led sleep approach because I really wanted to help moms. I wanted to be the mom or be a support person that I did not have in my motherhood journey, especially postpartum, because my daughter was a COVID baby. So in the 2020 year, we were very isolated from a lot of people. I didn't have a ton of like emotional or physical support. So I wanted to do the certification. I started in November 2021 and I finished in August 2022. And I really did not want to go back to teaching. I was a preschool teacher before this, so I really was excited to pursue this career. Honestly, the best career decision I have ever made. I definitely felt very confident in my decisions as a mom, as a parent, and just being able to support other families through that was super exciting. And then I started working with Alicia around April 2023, and we are spreading the word on how to get sleep without sleep training and educating families on normal infant sleep and just making mamas feel confident in their decisions, just like how we feel with our families.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's, I always love hearing your story.
Thank you.
I think it's so funny because you always say, like, we tried sleep training at 4 months, and I'm like, for like 2 minutes, and
Yeah,
you didn't even
so
leave the room, and for a nap as
I
well.
didn't. I know, which you're not supposed to do, apparently. I don't even know how sleep
Well, I
training
mean,
works.
yeah.
I know.
All the sleep
Yeah.
trainer rules and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's so nice to hear when moms are able to really follow their instincts. And I feel like that was definitely something that was really lacking for me in the beginning. And as I mentioned, I had a pretty traumatic birth. So I feel like that connection was really not there for me.
For sure.
I really kind of struggled with that. But we thought it would be a good idea to kind of talk a little bit about what sleep looked like for our girls. So I'll start with my oldest. She really didn't sleep and just kind of thought that she would just sleep if she was tired, and she didn't at all. We would like do things like keep her up longer in hopes that she would sleep. So she was very overtired and would wake up, 45 minutes after going down, and be like, "What's wrong with her? She's been up for hours. She should be tired." I don't know why we never Googled anything. Like, it's pretty, I feel like it's pretty rare that new parents don't, type things into Google and just look up something basic like awake windows, but we didn't do any of that. She also had colic-like symptoms in the early days. We did realize, probably about 3 months in as well, that she really struggled when I ate citrus. I was drinking like lots of orange juice. So when we removed that, she was okay. My second, or Luna, actually struggled with that as well. So I just kind of avoided it postpartum with both of them. She always did need less daytime sleep. I always parents or well parents will always ask us, like, how much daytime sleep should my 18-month-old be getting? And I always kind of laugh because at 18 months we were capping her nap at 45 minutes, which is not normal. Well, it was normal for her, I should say, to get those nice 12-hour long stretches at night. She was generally sleeping well at that point in time. She did kind of start sleeping through the night on and off from 12 months after our whole 6 month sleep training fiasco. When we stopped sleep training, things got messy, but then usually by about 12 months or so, she was doing well again. And then she was consistently sleeping through the night around 18 months, minus that 18 month developmental progression. Because yeah, sleep got yucky around that point again, as it does for a lot of kiddos. And then now she's 5 and she sleeps through the night pretty much most of the time. She'll wake up early morning sometimes and come into bed with us at some point, but generally she's pretty easy. She does still have lower sleep needs, so she does need a she doesn't nap anymore, but she needs a long wake window. So we kind of look at, you know, what time she woke up in the morning and then base bedtime off of that. Usually it's 13, 14 hours, somewhere in there is kind of the sweet spot for her, depending on physical activity throughout the day. And then sleep with my youngest was pretty standard as a newborn. She woke up every 2 to 3 hours to eat. I never had, neither of my girls were ever like sleeping all the way through the night, which I think with Nora, you said that she was pretty much as a newborn sleeping really long stretches.
She was, yes.
Yeah. Just to trick you. I feel like just it's better. I feel like it's better when you just have like the 2 to 3 hour wake ups as a newborn and then just kind of continue with that, because it's less of a body shock when that 4 month progression happens. Wouldn't you agree?
For sure. Yeah, I agree totally.
Yeah. It's hard. And like we hear it all the time, you know, my baby slept so great before 4 months. And I'd really like to get back to that point. Like, those were newborn sleep cycles. Things are very different now. Mm-hmm. Luna woke up every 2 to 3 hours to eat. She slept like a dream during the day. I was like very aware that I was probably going to have another baby who was lower sleeping. So I was always concerned that she was going to be sleeping too much during the day. Waking up a ton at night, but it was pretty standard. I was able to put her down for naps, although I did really embrace the contact napping a lot with her. We did lots of baby wearing. And then for nighttime sleep, she slept in a sidecar crib that was really easy. It just allowed for easy access for bed sharing. So we kind of did half and half, although she didn't really mind sleeping in the sidecar crib. Just the easy bed share, or the bed sharing made things a lot easier for like nighttime feeds and things like that. So we did a combo. I highly recommend it if you are a new mom. Huge fan of sidecar cribs, especially too, because it does allow you to, you know, eventually transition to your crib if you want that. We never really did. It's actually still set up as a sidecar crib attached to our bed. We use it if any of the girls come into bed with us. It allows the bed to be just feel bigger, so we have a little bit more space. I refuse to take it down. I don't know how long it's going to be there for, but I was looking at it the other day and she was half in it and half in the bed. I'm like, I'm never getting rid of that thing. Like, maybe I'll just get like a bigger crib, because it's a mini crib. It's not even big enough for her anymore, but maybe I'll just get a regular size crib and attach that to my bed for the rest of their childhood. We do have kind of an open bed policy. The girls are more than welcome to come into bed at any point in time with us. We don't care. Most of the time they started out in their bed. Sometimes, you know, we'll start them out in our bed and they'll just stay there the whole night. We just don't really care. But for Luna, she always did need longer wake windows. I think I realized that around 5 months or so with her, where I noticed she would consolidate her naps if I pushed the wake windows up a little bit more than like what was considered average. And now she still needs ridiculously long wake windows. She also needs a later bedtime due to that. Her body clock is just different. Typically she goes to bed between 9:30 and 10:30, which most of the time works fine for us, but it definitely works well for her. And she needs like an 8-ish hour wake window before bed. So with a normal nap schedule, waking up at 2, that's kind of where that puts bedtime and why bedtime is so late for her. She has been sleeping through the night on and off since 18 months. I consider her sleeping through the night now, because generally she'll do like a 7, maybe 8 hour stretch, wake up once, and then come into bed with us. She's never been a child that sleeps 12 hours overnight. She's like 10 hours max. But I do consider that sleeping through the night. But I know like sleep training standards, that would probably be that she still wakes up once a night. But that's not how I feel about it. She sleeps through the night.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you want to talk a little bit about Nora's sleep?
Yeah. So as a newborn, she definitely slept like a dream, I guess you would say. She slept pretty well. I mean, in the first couple months, like, she would sleep on me. She would sleep in her bassinet next to us. She would feed sometimes and go right back to sleep. I guess I feel like it's a blur because you're in survival mode. But there were some rough nights, of course. But I remember we were with like other family and she was maybe sleeping like a long, like 8 to 9 hour stretch, like 6 weeks old, which I'm like, is that like not normal? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I fed her, you know, I produced a lot of milk, like everything was good with her feeding, her weight. And then I remember someone saying like, well, just enjoy it now because it might change. And I like look at Dave, my partner. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, sleep changes? Like, I didn't know, you know, I'm like, isn't she just going to always sleep great? But obviously she She changed. She definitely changed her sleep patterns. She hit the 4 month regression like pretty hard. She slept really poorly after that. And I think that's why when I went to the pediatrician and said, like, you know, she's waking more throughout the night, like she's needing me to support her to sleep. She's needing me to nurse. And she's trying to tell me it's a bad habit. I have to stop that. She has to sleep independently. So I think I just had so many people in my ear saying things like what I was doing was wrong or bad. So I really thought I was doing things wrong or bad, because I obviously first time mom, no one around me was even like a mom. Like I was the first mom in my friends group. I was the first mom in my family. Like my sisters weren't moms yet. So I think that's really why I turned to like social media for advice. Mm-hmm. And like when I found Lauren for Isla Grace, she really like changed my perspective on sleep. And like, thank goodness for that middle of the night scrolling that I found her, because who knows where I'd be if I didn't. But I guess I never really did anything to change her sleep. Like after the 4 month regression, she really woke up like every 2 to 3 hours for like months and months. And like, I didn't really adjust wake windows. I just followed her lead. I let her sleep when she was tired. And I learned about her low sleep needs later on in her like sleep journey, because I didn't even know what that meant. Like she never had sleepy cues. I feel like, yeah, I guess she rubbed her eyes or she was tired, but I used to have to put her in the stroller to sleep. I used to have to go for car rides to sleep because she just wouldn't sleep. She was like always, she would stay up all day if I let her at like six months old. I'm like, you can't do that. You have to go to sleep. But yeah, eventually she just started sleep within the night around like 15, 16 months. It wasn't consistent. There was like times that she woke up, but she was sleeping better around that time. But that's when I started learning more about like the baby led sleep approach too. You know, that's when I started my certification. So I was learning about wake windows and learning about low sleep needs. And I just felt like so much more confident in like Nora and like being a mom and like, you know, realizing that it is normal for a child to sleep like that. Cause I always thought she was so not normal. And I thought I was doing something wrong. I thought like I was breaking her and I had a broken baby, which is obviously not true. I know that now, but yeah, so now she sleeps just fine. You know, she's 3 and a half and she sleeps through most nights. Sometimes she'll wake up for like a hug and then she'll go right back to sleep. So I consider that sleeping through the night. I mean, it takes me 2 seconds to go and hug her and then she goes back to sleep and, you know, and then I go back to sleep fine, or she comes in our bed sometimes, which is fine with us too. And I guess like back then too, to think about, like, I probably would have bed shared if I wasn't so scared of it. I feel like I was really scared of bed sharing as like a first time mom because of all the horror stories you hear. Like, I feel like pediatricians' advice for other people, like, oh, don't put them in your bed. They're never going to get out. You know, if you have them sleep in your bed as a newborn, you're not, they're going to sleep in there until they're a teenager. I'm like, thinking back, like, not that's the worst advice. And even if my child did want to sleep with me till they're older.
I know. And I like think about that now and I'm like, yeah, that's fine. They could both sleep with me. I'd be okay.
I know. I love it. I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. But Nora's definitely a perfect example of that. If you do nothing, your child will eventually sleep the night. Cause I did technically nothing. Like, obviously I put her for naps and this and that. I mean, she dropped down to one nap at like 10 months old, which is very, I guess, rare and uncommon for children. But with her one nap a day, she took like maybe a 2 hour nap one day. And I'm like, well, this is nice. Mm-hmm. And then she slept better at night because, well, I'm sure it's such a blur. I feel like I was in survival mode, but she definitely started sleeping better at night. Or maybe she didn't refuse bedtime. Like, I feel like her naps were all over the place. Her wake windows were all over the place. So I always struggled with bedtime. I remember one night we were driving around like 11 o'clock at night because this girl would not sleep. I'm like, I don't know what to do. She's not sleeping. So we had to go for a car ride, but she was always a low sleep needs baby. And I just learned that more about her. And yeah, I just learning more about the sleep foundations. And I didn't have much education on that at that time. But when I learned more, I realized that she was very low sleep needs and she didn't need a lot of sleep to sleep, to function and to like, you know, sleep through the night.
Sleep well overnight too.
Sleep well overnight. Yeah. I mean, now she sleeps like 10 hours overnight, which I know some toddlers sleep like 10 hours overnight and then like nap for 2 hours a day, which is not her. And like, that sounds crazy to me.
Either
like,
of none of our kids are
none of our kids do that. And that's fine. And I feel like as a first time mom too, like when my friends did start having kids or like other family members, their kids would sleep like so great or sleep so long. And Nora like never did. And I'm just like, what's wrong with me? Like, what's wrong with her? But now I know like there's nothing wrong with her. There's nothing wrong with me. And my kid's just different than other kids. There's, you know, which is great.
No, It's so interesting because, yeah, having kids that are low sleep needs, like, there's no you can't compare them. And I mean, it's not a good idea to compare children anyways, but that's such a big question that we get is like, I'm so worried that my child is not getting enough sleep for their development. And that's why, well, I mean, a lot of sleep trainers will tell you that. Like, obviously, sleep is very important for development. However, everyone has different sleep needs. It's literally like, and I mean, we talk about this all the time, but I have very low sleep needs myself. And so does my husband. And we made two very low sleep needs kiddos.
Yeah.
And like my oldest always had to have shorter naps during the day in order to sleep well at night. My youngest can have longer naps. It doesn't really seem like it affects her, but she does need those long wake windows before bed in order to balance out those naps. Like if I did really short naps, she'd probably go to bed a little bit earlier, but that's not really an option and stuff with daycare right now. So it does make things a little bit trickier, but
for sure. And just learning all of that and having that knowledge just makes you feel so much better as a mom. Like if I had all that knowledge as like when Nora was a couple months old, I would feel so much better going into like our parenting journey and sleep journey. I feel like I was just struggling so much because I was comparing her to other people's kids. And I was comparing myself as a mom to other moms. And I just like, feel like I wasn't getting it right. And then finally, when I came across the certification, I'm like, oh, there's an answer. Like, I know I felt like internally in my instincts, I was doing it right. But like all that outside pressure and this, your society and everyone's like, oh, it's just a couple of nights of crying and then they'll sleep all night. They'll sleep like a, you know, they'll have a great skill forever. I'm like, I don't want to do that though. Like, why are you trying to force me to do something I don't want to do? So, but we all made the right decision. This is where it led us to today, talking to all of you about our journeys and our kids and our career. So
absolutely. Great. No, it's pretty crazy to kind of go through that, like even a second time, just with my second is like, a lot of people will talk about, oh, it's difficult to go from like one to two. I found it way more difficult to go to one, to be honest. And I think a lot of that had to do with just the fact that I was so second time around, I was just I knew what to expect. It was easier to embrace things like bed sharing, not really stress out about if I was doing something wrong. I was really able to drown out all of that outside noise. I mean, obviously at that point in time, I was certified in helping families. So I like did not care at all what anyone had to say. I think at that point, nobody even dared to say anything to me. I do posts about like, oh, you know, when people say whatever, you know, nobody says that to me anymore. They don't even bother. It's just lost on deaf ears. So I would never listen to any of it anyways, but yeah, it's very interesting to kind of go through that a second time. And I know you've talked about how things would be different and stuff if you guys had another little one.
Exactly. I know. I would just fully embrace bed sharing right away, like contact naps, like baby wearing, all that stuff in the beginning, and just I would know more about sleep foundations too, which would just be easier. And I just wouldn't have the stress that you have as like a first time mom. Like the stress would just, I mean, it did start melting away as like Nora got older and I learned more, but it's like you have more experience. You're a second time mom than a first time mom. I forgot what quote it was, but I saw a quote about like wishing you can give your first child, you as a mom, to your second child, because as your first child, you grow with them. Like you're raising them, but you're really raising yourself as like a person and a mom because you're learning with them. And like growing up in my mid-20s and trying to figure out like, what do I do with this child? Yeah. And just like with you, we didn't talk about sleep and pregnancy.
No conversations. I think we were talking about this yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I did not educate myself on sleep. I just felt like you just educate yourself on birth and like, what do you do with the baby and just making sure you have all the products for the baby. And then the baby comes and you're like, what do I do with this baby now?
This baby alive now. It's
this baby alive. Yeah. I never even heard the word sleep. Well, I guess I did, but no one ever asked me like, are you going to sleep train your baby when I was pregnant? Like no one asked me that.
I didn't hear about it. I didn't hear about sleep training until right before we did sleep training. Actually, not right before. It was probably like 4 or 5 months where a friend of mine was like, oh, like you have to teach her how to self-soothe. And I was like, what?
What is that?
And
then
I also like started, and that's when I got into the Googling and I was like, oh, like I'm not supposed to be nursing her to sleep. Well, that's bad. I nurse her to sleep all the time.
Exactly.
Maybe this is why she's waking up so much. And in reality, she was just excessively overtired. But yeah, no. And like looking back on like our sleep training experience and stuff, like, she wasn't even sleeping that poorly.
And we did it around 6 months when she was like probably going through kind of a developmental progression as well. So like maybe sleep was a little bit wonky then, but it wasn't like as bad as it was when she was a newborn and we were dealing with like the food sensitivities and stuff like that. Like it was just because somebody else told me that like that's what I should be doing.
Yeah.
And just the lack of, you know, that connection that I was feeling with her, I went for it. Like it didn't, it sucked. And I was like, this is probably, this doesn't seem great, but I don't think those instincts were really intact. And yeah, it sucks to think back on, but I mean, you do the best with the information you had at the time. And it's led me to what we do now. And I love it.
Exactly. So, exactly. You know,
I don't want to say it was worth it, but it sucked. I hate thinking about it, but she was nursed to sleep until she was almost three. So we had all that connection time and stuff. And that's the cool thing about attachment. We talk about this. We don't like to use the word repair ever. But the cool thing about attachment is the reason that, you know, sleep training isn't a permanent solution most of the time is because for an attachment aspect, when you start responding again, they're going to start signaling again. And you're always able to kind of rebuild that attachment relationship. So that's always made me feel a little bit better about the decisions and stuff that we've made. But it is really interesting to kind of see as a second time, well, I guess even as a first time mom, you can get so infatuated with the whole sleep aspect of sleep training and all of that stuff is, and with all of the wake ups that you might be going through, you can't really see like the light at the end of the tunnel. Like you're like, this is my life now forever. I'm never going to sleep again. And we always say like, you could do absolutely nothing. Your child would eventually sleep through the night, barring any like medical concerns or anything. Exactly. Like that. But I think that also made it easier as a second time mom. And even when we're supporting families, because we can look at their situation and know like, yeah, things really suck right now, but eventually they will sleep through the night, even if you didn't hire us.
Exactly. So exactly.
It is promising. But I mean, also like, different people have different sleep thresholds and sleep needs. Like somebody who is, you know, a mom who has higher sleep needs is really going to struggle with excessive nighttime wake-ups. It didn't faze me because I have really lower sleep needs and I wasn't bothered by it at all. But with a mom who's really struggling with that, there are ways to kind of make changes and stuff and get more sleep for yourself and your family without any sleep training. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to connect with us beyond the podcast. You can find myself on all social media platforms at Alicia Dyshod. And for more parenting and sleepy goodness, hop over to Instagram and follow Eleni at Eleni Katz. Until next week, keep embracing the chaos and remember you're doing an amazing job, even if it doesn't feel like it.